This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
It was so great to baptize two adorable babies last week. We created two new and tiny disciples, and we agreed to support their families as they grow into Christ's love together. The greatest part of it was for me, was in realizing that there are so many of you who are willing to stand up and nearly shout, "We will," when we ask you to support people that you do not yet know as they strive to raise a child in Christ's love. It's amazing that you faithfully show up for love Sunday after Sunday, sharing the good news. You're not cynics, none of you. You may feel cynical about any number of things, but you're not cynics. Every single one of you shows up for love, shows up for your community, shows up here to carry a torch, to sing for one another, to hold open a door in greeting. Have you ever really thought about that? What a weird and preposterous bunch of hopers we are. Showing up here week after week just because we care. We care about our souls, we care about each other, we care about this old building filled with spirits and angels and dust. We care enough to read together, to share our hearts and talents, to ask after each other in the hallways. And it matters to me so much because this hoper's gonna hope. I'm gonna hope without ceasing. And in fact, most of us call that prayer. I think that's the more popular term for it. But it's really just hope, isn't it? We hope that God will come through for us. When we pray, we hope that things will work out, or we hope that we'll adjust to and accept the things that are happening to us. We hope that our loved ones can keep withstanding their various cancer treatments. We hope that a sister recovers from car wreck injuries. We hope that people in LA and in North Carolina can begin to rebuild and find their hope again. I pray that my heart won't break when my kids go to college. I'm hoping for peace in my heart and in yours. I'm hoping that God knows how grateful I am for food and for science and medicine. I'm hoping for people who are refugees to find places they can call home, and that all of our unhoused friends can find warmth this week. That's what prayer is, right? It's just putting out a thread of hope and then waiting. When we pray, we risk disappointment that things won't happen the way that we want them to. We risk feeling vulnerable as we beg for and await solutions to problems that we have no control over. We risk our faith when we make ultimatums with God, desperate at times for God's provision. And thankfully, while we wait for our prayers to be answered, we are able to show up here in community and share our fears and concerns. We hold one another, promising to support each other, whether our prayers are answered or not, for better or worse. And that's no small thing. We make each other's lives better. You make my life better. Just because you agree to show up here and to commit yourself to hold the same hopes and prayers that I hold. That is how we do. We work towards a collective hope. We pray for a way forward together. We look for ways to help one another, to advocate for those beyond our parish, and we work to discern how we, as a congregation, will show up in the world as Christ's hands and feet. What I know about you is that once you discern a scope of work, you move towards it with great determination and care. You work to empower the places and people you touch, always striving towards transformation, because this is the example that Jesus set for us. Today's story of the wedding in Cana is an example of this kind of transformative work. And it calls to us from John's gospel as a beacon of hope and love. We come back to it time and again to inspire our work in the world. So let us sink into it a bit and see what it has to offer us today. This is the first of Jesus' miracles in John. Though John doesn't call them miracles, does he? He calls them signs. Because for John, all of these signs will stack up collectively to reveal Jesus as God, who is present in our humanity with us. Notice Jesus' resistance. Maybe he's resentful, but he's resistant mostly in this story. Deeply human, he is annoyed by his mother's demand that he provide wine. It is his mom who sees the opportunity for revelation and the need for the host family to save face at this social event so they are seen as being capable of pulling off the kind of celebration that is expected. No doubt she would serve on the altar guild. Once he has done as she told him to, everyone is astonished. The steward is blown away by the quality of the wine, and as a result, the groom looks great in the eyes of his guests. And I wonder if Jesus thanked his mother for pushing him in that way. I think if he were a young adult in our modern American context, he might have ended up in therapy complaining about how domineering she was. But she is the one that motivated him. She saw the moment for what it was. And I wonder if anyone has pushed you into a space of being or noticed a charism that you have that you weren't really willing to see yet. I wonder if you've ever been led into work here in this church that you did begrudgingly or without really fully buying into it. Maybe there's a little of the creed you don't say with as much vigor as the rest. Or maybe you're burned out in your current ministry and don't know how to say that you would like to try something different. Surely some of us are not as politically progressive as others, and so the advocacy work we do is uncomfortable. On the other hand, some of you might like our advocacy focus to be even more progressive. And I know there are some among us who don't believe that Christ should reveal himself in our politics at all. And so I guess I'm wondering how that might sit with you. What does it feel like to be a part of a movement or a set of beliefs that you cannot yet fully get behind? Do you have faith that God is in the work you do that you may not yet agree with, and so you will stand tentatively behind it until you feel certain? Until you feel ready? I feel certain this is what Jesus is speaking of in this moment, because he says that his hour has not yet come. And I cannot imagine he was just being salty. That doesn't really track with who he is. I wonder if he was afraid that he would not be able to do what was asked of him, or if he would be exposed too soon. Perhaps it felt risky. Maybe he didn't want to lead that day. When we choose to discern and participate in collective hope here, to pray for transformation here, to stand up for the marginalized, we are doing so at great risk to our hearts. What if it doesn't work out? Or it turns out to be a waste of time? Or what if we end up on the wrong side of history? Or inadvertently unravel our community or our society or the ozone layer? What would Jesus have done if his miracle turned out some other kind of way? We never really know about these things until we get some hindsight on them, do we? Today, we stand on a precipice as we move into new leadership tomorrow. We have revealed ourselves in a certain way to be a certain nation of people. We are entangled in many different spaces globally. Some inexplicable set of circumstances has gathered us here in this moment, in this specific way. How do we show up in this moment? I don't know, but I can tell you that how we show up really, really matters. And I know it matters to you because the first Sunday after the election, our attendance spiked. There were so many families here that we made 53 connections with children in formation spaces, and that is a record since I've been here. That tells me that we all feel the gravity of this moment and that we are willing to show up for each other for the wider world. It also tells me that we find hope here, that we seek Christ here, that we feel the need to be here when things feel uncertain and like they're changing. And let me be clear, no matter who or what any of you voted for, you seem to all feel the gravity of this moment. We notice that our country and our world are shifting, and I believe we are all hoping for things to change for the better, whatever that may mean to each of us. I think we're all looking for God in this moment. And believe me, I know that God can be hard to find and even harder to understand. I know that faith is easier to hold on to in moments when things are going well. And I know that we're all wondering how God will be revealed here in this world that seems to be hanging in the balance. So today, I'm going to tell you what I know of God. Because I suspect for some of you, you're in a space of deep concern and may need a lifeline rather than vague theological ramblings. Our God is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. There is not a thing about us individually or collectively that God does not know. God knit us together. God breathed life over each of us and calls us by name, not just the blessed, not just the fortunate, not just America, not just God's chosen people of Israel, all of us. God's righteousness is like the strong mountains, God's justice like the great deep. God saves both man and beast. God doesn't just love us like we need to be loved or bring us provision when we're desperate. God provides for us with abundance, loving us with abandon and great extravagance. God gives us infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. And God can do it at the drop of a hat. God can part seas, can generate ideas in the minds of geniuses, can allow us to forgive or love or change quite suddenly and with a grace we never knew we possessed. It's happened to you, hasn't it? A sudden forceful change sometime in your life. It's happened to me. Listen, sometimes our collective hope is dashed. Sometimes we are terrified about the future, but God most certainly is not. God will hold us and guide us as we walk through a maelstrom. God will carry us when we struggle. God will gather us to care for one another in God's name. And God will claim us when we pass on from this world into the next. Gravity is real. And cancer is real. And we humans are capable of making terrible choices, but God does not falter. God is never in doubt. God simply waits as we err, as we struggle with doubt, as we work to find and return to hope. God stands beside us as we fall apart, as we reconcile ourselves, and as we gather in God's name and rejoice. And God is with us when we baptize babies, when we discern powerful work that will glorify God's name. God inspires us to perform everyday miracles, like teaching a little boy where heaven really is, or hugging someone whose loved one is diminishing before their very eyes. It is God who swells in our hearts when we hear our favorite song or when we meet grandkids for the first time. It is God who knows when we have found ourselves and when we are connected to God as a source. It is God who holds us, always tethered to the collective force of love in the world. The force of love is not finite, friends. It is massive and infinite. If we are willing to harness the force of love and beauty and creativity that God offers, we will quickly and decisively solve every single problem that we have created with our human desire and greed. God offers love so abundant that people who survived the Holocaust managed to find that love still in their hearts. God offers creativity so abundant that it inspired a teenage girl to invent wireless charging for cell phones. Beauty so abundant that musicians gathered on city balconies to play music together in pandemic lockdown. John's gospel offers us this kind of abundance in his story of the wedding in Cana. Because Jesus doesn't simply transform the wine, supplying what is only needed for the occasion. He asks them to fill 6 jugs that each hold 20 to 30 gallons. That is hundreds of liters of wine. That is like 800 bottles of wine. And they were good. They were excellent. And let's be really clear. That transformation came about because Jesus was willing to do what was asked of him after a little grumbling. Whether or not he felt ready. You may not feel ready. I do not feel ready most days. But I am asking you to hold on, loved ones. Hold on to that connection you have with the divine. Let us lament if we need to. Let us share our fears and concerns so that we know we are not alone in them. Let us be vulnerable in our need. And then let us return to hope together. Let us return to God. Let us find our willingness and open our hearts to the ways that God is asking us to show up. And maybe with enough signs, we might just find that God is being revealed in us right here. Be quick to love. Make haste to be kind. And please know that the very greatest joy that you have ever felt here on earth is a mere fraction of the joy that awaits us when we join Christ at God's side. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.